against his past image.
To sell the method, Stephen had a good house and maybe a compass. Now we can see and hear, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth, one with myself.
To the Buddha, to the Dharma, to the Sangha. There's a principle in physics. First, put in terms of a universal law of nature by Newton, I believe, that says that objects in motion will travel in a straight line and at a constant velocity unless acted upon by some force that pushes them in another direction or that increases or decreases their velocity. You might say there's an equivalent spiritual principle that beings will return in a straight line back to the state of recognized union with the eternal unless that motion back to the eternal, that return motion, is in that direction, is acted upon by greed, hate, and delusion. This goes directly against the teaching of most popular religion, which is based on some version or other of original sin, and that says that only special people ever return to their true spiritual home. It's never a good idea to underestimate either the strength of the pull back to the eternal or the degree to which, if we allow this to happen, greed, hate, and delusion can intervene and gum up the works. This is particularly the case when, for any being, for any group of beings, karma is coming due. While karma can come due in many forms, some of them very pleasant, when the karma that really needs the help of the eternal is coming due most powerfully, it doesn't tend to be very pleasant. At such time, we get to choose whether we will allow the karma to interfere with its own process of getting cleaned up. Whether we will do that which really helps it find its way back and undergo the full process of conversion. I've been speaking about this time in the life of our Sangha as a time of opportunity. The opportunity cuts both ways. If we use it wisely, it's a time of opportunity for training and enlightenment to deepen naturally. For some individuals, it's a time of very, very great opportunity indeed. For all of us, it's a time of opportunity. It's also a time when we can seriously veer off course. Where we can really stubbornly try to put the brakes on. Process of conversion, because the cost seems to be getting too high. It's more than we bargained for. For this reason, Rumi Master said things like, out of gratitude to the Buddhas and ancestors, I give everything. Health, wealth, reputation, honor, even life itself. From one point of view, this sounds like recklessness and or heroics. But it's neither one. It's neither reckless nor is it heroics. It's wisdom. And it's willingness. In order for the deepest karmic need to find its way back to that which helps it, everything has to be placed upon the altar of the heart. Nothing can be held back. There's no area in which we can say, I can't offer this up. I can retain control of this. Some of us try it in the area of health. Some of us try it in the area of material wealth and security. We can try it in the area of reputation. It doesn't matter. External things are not a refuge in the ultimate sense. They're not the true reality. We're all going to die. All of these things that become so important to us, when we're allowing our point of view to be clouded by fear, entities fundamentally. And a true refuge is not to be found in any of them. To offer them up does not mean to willfully waste them or despise them. It is simply to place them upon the altar of the heart, to let go, let it all go into the arms of the Eternal. It is easy to see it as a sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice. Sacrifice is taking something that belongs to you. And giving it up. There is neither something that belongs to a self, nor is there a self that can possess and own anything. There's a verse in the Bible that's very apt here. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Everything belongs to, everything is of the Eternal. You might say that health, wealth, reputation, intelligence, security, whatever we value, is given temporarily into our hands. We have a kind of stewardship. But all that is given with the understanding that it is transitory and is going to be taken back. And this is for our good. It is for my good. How will I ever know where my true security, my true refuge lies, if all I know is external security, external refuges? How will I ever take refuge in the true reality at the time of my death, if during my life all I have known is shadow realities, and I've taken them to be true realities? Don't be a sucker for karma. Don't play the sucker for karma that's afraid to take the plunge into the unknown. We have to be able to take that step into the unknown, grab that karma by the back of the neck and say, like it or not, you're coming with me. Don't let the tail wag the dog. Don't veer off into pettiness, sullenness, meanness of spirit, hunkering down over little things, pretending to oneself that they are the true shining treasure and jewel. The way forward is a way of gratitude, generosity of spirit, uprightness. All the Buddhas and ancestors stand in one straight line. None of them veers off into pettiness and meanness of spirit. An excessive concern about external things. In all my years with Reverend Master, training with Reverend Master, the single piece of advice that helped me most and that I took most to heart and that led directly, my taking it to heart, her giving it and my taking it to heart, led directly to my first Kensho, were the simple words, Just don't worry about external things. Just don't worry about external things.